ಕಾಸುರನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ಬನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ಬನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಶ್ವಭಾತ್ಮರಂಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜ ತಪಸ್ವಿ ಸಿಂಹಾಯ ಶಿವನಿಂದ್ರ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಇಸ್ಕಾಂಧಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಕೌತಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವಿಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶಿಲ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕುರ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಿಂಗ್ ಹೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗರಾಧಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀ ವಾಸರಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವಿಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂದ ರಾಧಾಕಂದ ಕಿರಿ ಗೋವಿಂದಾನ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಬಿಂದಾಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಮಥುರ ಧಾಮ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನವದೀಪ ಸಮಾಯಪಧಾಮ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಕಂಗಮಾಯಿ ಜಮುನಮಯಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ತುಳಸಿ ದೇವಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಸಾಂಗವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಾಮ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೋ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿಸೆಂಬರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ All glories to the December devotees. All glories to the December devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, this morning we are reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, and Chapter 20, entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe. Text number 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na yasatyat paro dharma. Naya satyat paro dharma. Itti ho vacha bhur iyam. Itti ho vacha bhujam. Sarvam sadhyam alam mane. Ritti rika param naram. Naya satyat paro dharma. Iti ho vacha bhuritayam. Sarvam sodhum alam manye. Rittilika param naram. Naya satyat paro dharma. Iti ho vacha bhuriyam. Sarvam sodhum alam manye. Rittilika param naram. नाथजी Na, not, he, indeed, asatyat. Then compulsion to untruthfulness. Para, more, adharma, irreligion, iti, thus, hivacha. Indeed had spoken. Bhu, Mother Earth, Iyam, this, Sarvam, everything, Shodhum, to bear, Alam, I am able, Manye, although I think, Ritti, accept, Alikaparam, the most heinous liar. Naram, a human being. Translation, there is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. Please repeat, there is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. Prabhupada, by the divine grace, C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. On the surface of the earth there are many great mountains and oceans that are very heavy, and Mother Earth has no difficulty carrying them. But she feels very much overburdened when she carries even one person who is a liar. It is said that in Kali Yuga, lying is a common affair. Mayeva Yava Harike, Bhagavatam 12:2-3. Even in the most common dealings, people are accustomed to speaking many lies. No one is free from the sinful reactions of speaking lies. Under the circumstances, one can just imagine how this has overburdened the earth and indeed the entire universe. End of purport. Om Ajnanatananda Sajnanandaran Sakya Chakshurmanitamda Tarsmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sanyavari Paschachyate Satharini Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, there is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. So it is said that in Kali Yuga, all these the principles of cleanliness, religiosity, truthfulness, and another one? Mercy. Out of those three have practically disappeared in Kali Yuga. You don't see that much now. But truthfulness still remains to some degree. But here it's mentioned, even that is fast dwindling. In the 12th canto has mentioned that. That because Kali Yuga is the age of hypocrisy, the age of disagreement. And nobody likes disagreement. Everyone likes that everyone should agree with me, right? Because I'm always right. That is the intention that we have. So then lies are quite common. But there is a sinful reaction we get from telling lies, although they may be commonplace, especially with children. But they're not to be taken seriously. This has been speaking. Brahman Dharya? Yeah, I think yes. This is Baliraj speaking, because he's given his promise to Vamandev that he'll give him whatever he wants, 3 paces of land, according to his steps. So now he's about to consecrate that pledge with his Kamandalu to pour water to sanctify the deal. In the West, they shake hands to sanctify the deal. But here they pour some water in the Kamandalu. And then Bali's guru, Shuka, he's understood. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. He said, this is your enemy. In Vishnu. This is the Supreme Lord Vishnu. He's appeared as a dwarf boy. He's going to take everything from you and he's going to give it to Indra, your enemy. Don't do it. And I'll tell you what he'll do. He told him he knew exactly what was going to happen. Great guru. Great Trikala again. He'll take everything. With his first step, he'll cover the whole world, 3 worlds, and then the second step, he'll cover outer space. Third step, where will he put it? There's no place left. Now you're guilty of calling someone for charity and not giving charity, which is the most sinful thing. Here it says, this is truthfulness, as Mother Earth can't bear it. It's the most sinful. But it is also said that to call somebody for charity and not give that charity, that is the most sinful thing. My bad. Different scriptures are saying, have different takes. What is the most sinful? What is the most truthful? So, don't do it. It will not be beneficial. He's speaking as a guru of the asuras. We saw so much endeavor, big battles, and so many people died, and big endeavor to get the control of the universe. We beat the demigods. And now you're going to give it all up. What about a whole dynasty? What about all the other demons? Just thinking of yourself, you're so truthful, you must give. Everyone's going to lose. The whole dynasty is going to lose. Just because of your pride, because you want to be truthful. And anyway, there's a way around it. According to the Shruti, he said, there's some cases where you can retract your word. Even if you're telling a lie, it's okay. And he's given many examples. Going to give many examples. Like to save a life, to save a cow, to protect your interests, protect your own interests, things like that. Then you're allowed to tell a lie, which is a truth. It is true that you can tell a lie sometimes for a higher purpose. So the ways of morality are very difficult to understand in the material world. This is what Bhishma told Drupadi, when she asked the question, what is the truth? Do I belong to the Pandavas? Can they order me anymore? Have they already lost me in a gambling match? He couldn't say anything. That's what he said. The ways of morality are very difficult to understand in Mahajan. This is what he said. An ambiguous answer. Of course, he knew that Dushyant could not possible for Dushyant to grab Drupadi by the hair if Krishna's on the planet, because she's a good friend of Krishna. Therefore, because it's happened, it must be Krishna's sanction in it. He must have a bigger plan, because Krishna wanted to start the battle of Kurukshetra, so he wanted to get he had a reason to get there. Pandavas fired up, and he used it. For Arjuna to kill Karna. He used that point. But that's what he said, the ways of morality, the ways of truth are very difficult to understand. There are different different scriptures, different shrutis, different Puranas will say that, what they will say, the different types of truth. But he said, no, in this case it's not right, because you're gonna cause a destruction of the whole dynasty just by your truth, by your being truthful. Even Yudhisthira was criticized, right, by his brothers, I forget which one. And they said, you're so, look at us, we're princes, now we're in the forest. Now we're in bark and animal skins. He says, it's all your fault, just because you're so truthful, I have to give my word. You can't play dice, you can't match. Is it Dushyant? Who is a dice man? Shu? Huh? Huh? Shakuni. Shakuni. You can't beat Shakuni. Everyone knows Shakuni's got a magic hand with dice. You can't beat him. And you accept you lose in the whole everything just for the sake of your truthfulness. I'm a Kshatriya. I cannot refuse a challenge. That is, a Kshatriya's dharma. You're so attached to your dharma. And now look what's happened to us. We're all in the forest, including our wife and mother. It said it in a nice way, but that's in fact what he said. So attached to your truth, being Dharmaraj. And he was. When Krishna told him to tell a lie on the battlefield, Ashwatthama is dead. He said, tell him Ashwatthama is dead, Drona. Because if he understands his son has died, his son Drona, then he'll put down his son Ashwatthama, Drona's son Ashwatthama, he'll put down his weapons. No one can beat Drona in the battle. He's a guru. He's a martial arts guru. He taught everyone practically. Unless he goes, we're not going to win the battle. So we can't kill him. Tell him this. Tell him his son has died. Ashwatthama is dead. And Yudhisthira couldn't say it. But he never told a lie in his life. How can I break my religious principle? And for that, it says he has to, according to the smartas, he had to go to hell because he told a lie, they say, because he told a lie. Ashwatthama, eventually he told it. Krishna says, no, look, the elephant is a famous elephant carrier, warrior elephant, Ashwatthama. He's just been killed. You say, Drona, Ashwatthama, the elephant has been killed. So he doesn't hear the elephant. So you're not telling a lie, and you wouldn't like that. So they say that because he actually told a lie, then he had to go to hell. But the Vaishnavas say no, because he hesitated to tell a lie, then he had to go to hell. He hesitated to Krishna to tell a lie to Krishna to say Ashwatthama was there. He didn't follow Krishna's instruction. He hesitated. He had to be convinced to do it. So he was putting more value on his adherence to dharma, truth, than to Krishna's. I mean, what's the point of dharma? What's the whole point of dharma? Krishna says, sava dhamman pratyajamamikam. Dharma is to know Krishna. Dharma is to bring you to the point of surrendering to Krishna. Krishna's asking him to do something and he's considering dharma. Dharma is coming. Dharma is for people who don't know what to do. Dharma is for people who are not surrendered to Krishna. When you understand what Dharma is, then you surrender to Krishna. That's the purpose of Dharma, to bring you to the point of surrender to Krishna. So Krishna's telling him to do something, and he's saying, what about Dharma? So then, he had to go to hell for that, for a little while. If they stay there a little while, brothers were there also. Interesting story in the Mahabharata. There was another Puranic story. There was a sadhu, and he went. He was begging alms. It was evening, so the owner of the house gave him some alms and said, "Why don't you stay the night? Night is coming. Just stay here." So at night time, he's sleeping in the house. And then he hears a knock on the door, and it's the wife of the man. He's a very, very effulgent young brahmachari, and she was attracted to him. So she knocked on the door and made a proposal. So he said, "No, what are you saying, mother? That's terrible. That's terrible. You're a married woman. How can we think of such a thing?" So then he left. Then 10 minutes later, there's another knock on the door. He opens the door. He sees the lady standing there with blood on her hands. She said, "I don't have a husband anymore." He said, "Oh no! Oh my God! What are you doing? This is terrible! A catastrophe!" So then she realizes her blunder. Then she starts yelling, "Hey! We all the people comes. This rascal comes in dressed as a sadhu. He comes in when my husband's asleep. He tries to take advantage of me. Killed my husband and take advantage of me. Yeah, rascal." And they chipped the cup, chop off his hand and sent him out. So he always wondered why that happened to him, because he was a very good person. So he asked one time he met a Trikala again. Person that knows past, present and the future. He said, "My whole life I've been sinless." He said, "Tell me, why did this happen? Why did I have to lose my hand?" So he told him the story. "In your previous birth," he said, "you're also sinless. You were sworn to truthfulness. You would never tell a lie." One time you were doing your ablutions at the river, and suddenly a cow came running past, and it jumped in the water and swam to an island. There's an island there, a little way in the river, South India. And then one butcher came with a chopper, knife. And he said, "Where's my cow? Did you see my cow? He escaped. Did you see him?" So he thought, what to do? "I can't tell a lie. I'm sworn to truthfulness. It's my vow of truthfulness." He's asking me, Did I see his cow? What shall I do? I can't break my vow of truthfulness. I'm sworn to truthfulness. But here he says, for killing a cow, to save the life of a cow, you can tell a lie. He quotes this. Sukhachara quotes this. So he thought, well, I won't speak it. But he pointed his finger to the island. And then the butcher went there. So the Trikala guy said, "This is a reason why you've lost your hand." He pointed like that. He said, "And that cow," he said, "the wife, she became the cow, and the husband, he became the butcher." Now karma works. But he lost his hand, and the cow lost his life. Just for telling the truth. So different levels of truth. When you can tell a lie, when it's permissible, and according to different scriptures, like Bali is quoting Sukhacharya, is quoting probably, you know, in the Arthur scriptures, you know, if you give away more than what you have, you become penniless, you become useless, you can't even maintain yourself, you can't maintain anyone, then it's wrong. Then you don't have to give that what you promised. You can retract your word. You can take it back. So he's given all these kind of examples how it's not wrong to retract your word. And he has foreseen, if you do, you're going to lose everything. We're going to lose everything. The whole demon race is going to lose everything. Not only you lose everything, you're going to have to go to hell, because you can't give him his third pace. He's taken everything in two paces. You've made a great sin refusing that charity of the third step. You'll have to go to hell. So what are you going to do? We're going to lose after such an endeavor. We've got control of the kingdom. Now it's all going to be lost. He's going to give it back to the Indra and the demigods. We'll be finished. You're going to go down to hell. Please, be reasonable. Retract your promise. Don't confirm this promise. Only a fool would do such a thing. What would you do in the circumstances? Big question. What would you do? You're going to lose everything, you're going to go to hell, and all the dynasty is going to suffer. It's a big decision to make. Then Bali gives his arguments. Baliraj, he gives his arguments. So like that, material world is very difficult, complex. Very difficult. One scripture says one thing, one scripture says another. One scripture is right, one scripture it's wrong. Same thing. Yet they're all scripture. So Krishna, he makes it like that. He says there's so many contradictions in scripture. But he likes it. Krishna likes it like that. Because it means if you're serious, you wanna understand these contradictions. Why are there contradictions in the scripture? Scripture is truth. So then you'll have to inquire why. And so that's why Krishna likes it. One of the reasons. And it also protects bhakti. Then people who are interested in enjoying, then the Artha Shastras will be for them. Karma Shastras, the Artha Shastras, they'll be for them, because they want to, and that's 99.9% of the human population. Now they all want that pravritti mark. everyone's acting for a better life now and a better life in the future. That's what everyone's desiring. A problem-free life now and in the future a better life. In the next birth. So that's what the Vedas mainly deal with. Because that's what everyone wants. So then there's so many injunctions you can pull to back up Sukha. Because most of the Vedas are concerning Dharma, Artha, Karma, and hardly anything on moksha. But that's what they're talking about, those two things. That's why Krishna says one should rise above the flowery words of the Vedas. They're bewildering. Because that's what we want, right? Everyone wants to be happy in this life. Everyone wants to be happy in the next life. Eh? What do we pray to Krishna for? Some of us. At least me. What do we pray to Krishna for? Please remove my problems. Please take me back to Godhead. Right? Please give me pure unalloyed devotion, we pray. So those that pray for pure unalloyed devotion, then Krishna doesn't give anything. Krishna takes away. That's his way. Because you want to become a pure unalloyed devotee of Krishna, then you need to have great attachment first. That loba, greed has to be there. That's a prerequisite. That means you're really serious. So then Krishna doesn't show himself. Krishna keeps himself away because the devotee wants. So that's to increase his attachment. This is what he did, how he trained the gopis in Vrindavan and others, his pure devotees. Just to increase their attachment for him, then he disappeared. So we can't understand how he operates. Because generally everyone is selfish in the material world. But even one wants Krishna, generally we go to Krishna because to fulfill our desires, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we have a secondary agenda, right? We're not chanting Hare Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, right? We're not performing this service for Krishna's pleasure, at least some of us. We should be, but that's, how can you if you don't have that bhava for Krishna? If you don't have that adhikar, how can you? If you don't love Krishna, how can you serve him selflessly? So what's more important, my happiness or Krishna's happiness? Actually, in your heart. So most of the time we're thinking like, so Srila Prabhupada said we should, one acts as, when one acts as the prakriti, not the purusha, that is a devotional attitude. Act as the enjoyer, not the enjoyer. That everything we're meant for Krishna's enjoyment, we're meant for Krishna's pleasure. Everything we should do be for his pleasure. Do we think like that? But that's the actual fact. And that's the highest truth. That's the highest truth. to give up the idea that we're the purusha, we're the enjoyer, we're the controllers and we're the enjoyers. If you can give up two things, then that's it. Your life is successful. There's only those two things you have to give up. The idea of controlling material energy, and the idea of enjoying it. That's it. Those two principles keep everyone moving in the material world. They keep the material world perpetuated. Those two desires we have. So if you can give up, it's only two then. You give up that desire to be the controller, and you give up that desire to be the enjoyer. Then you're perfect. You're neutral. Right? Now you can serve Krishna without any alloy, without any desire for your future safety and happiness. That's called pure unalloyed devotional service. So it's just those two things. But those are the only two things that everyone functions under in the material world. That's the principles that the material world moves on. So the conditioned living entities can try to fulfill their perverted desire of being the controller and the enjoyer, because that's Krishna's position. So this is when we act in as a purusha and the enjoyer, then this is untruthfulness. This is the ultimate untruthfulness. Huh? And we're devotees, we're supposed to be more truthful than ordinary people, right? We're supposed to be well behaved, we follow principles, we wear tilak, and we're supposed to be exemplary. But the highest truth is to act as a servant of Krishna for his pleasure. So when we're not doing that, then we're also we're an untruthful person. Sinful. So see, there's nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. After a little examining, how sinful we are. But we're not doing things for the benefit of Krishna. We're doing the things for their own benefit. This is the nature of the material world. This material world is meant for sinful people. Only the pure devotees, they don't come here. Only sinful people come here. And what is a sin? The sin is to take Krishna's position as the controller and the enjoyer. So that's very simple. That's the most simple thing, right? It's more simple than telling lies. more simple than all these other sins, right? Because it's all, in the material world, it's all relative. Sins, and what do you call? What's the opposite to sins? Pious activities, yeah. It's all relative. Whether you're in the material world, whether you're pious or simple, what's the difference? You're still in the prison. You're not serving Krishna. Right? You're not serving Krishna for his pleasure. You're in the material world, you're in the pious section or the impious section. You have a sinful dress or a pious dress. Dress of a demigod or dress of a resident of hell or lower planets or animals. But what's the difference? Everyone stays in there. Prabhupada's a first class prisoner, second class prisoner. First, but what is the difference? They're all prisoners. So all these different truths, they're called truths. They're all relative. Right? Because they're all in, about dharma, artha, karma, moksha. And hardly any about moksha. But that's the idea. In any religion, it's all about that. Any religions are mainly the pranamoy, second level, mostly. Mostly that's the goal. But because the religions, they're intended for different groups of people, civilized and less civilized, then there are different religious systems. So you got your like modern religions for the Malechas and Yavanas. They're not very sophisticated, but they may be complete in themselves. But if you ask what the goal is of those, then they're not gonna go back and serve God. They're gonna go back to His place and enjoy nicely there. So it's still about my sense gratification. So more or less you can achieve that in the material world, in the heavenly planets. So more or less they go to the heavenly planets because of that selfish interest is there. So it's not, but what their scripture is given is fine. It makes sense. It works. You follow. And because it works, you think this is the best, then you'll fight with the other one, which also works, if you follow properly, if they're bona fide. But you'll fight one another because ours is better than yours, and this is the only way, and yours isn't. Mm-hmm. So therefore, but it's all relative, you see. Therefore, different grades of people. But none of them, hardly, are transcendental. But because to keep the mass of people progressive, the Vedic paradigm is very big. So it's accommodating those in the mode of ignorance, sudras. They're also included in the civilized society. And if you don't come up to that standard, you can live outside the city, in the forest, enjoy your freedom there. But if you want to live in the city, you want to be included in the civilized society, then it accommodates those in the mode of ignorance, sutras. And if you follow your rules according to the particular caste, according to your particular division, then you'll make progress. In your next birth, you'll be upgraded until you come to the mode of passion. Then you become join the Vaishya section. Then you upgrade it, you join the Kshatriya section, then you upgrade it to the Brahmin section. It takes a long time. Hundreds and hundreds of births to do that. But it's progressive. But there is a point where, you know, then you come to that the point of understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrendering to Him. That's what it's for. But these other upadharmas, sub-religious principles, they don't go that far. You don't hear about it because they don't even know who God is. Let's face it. other religions. They have no description of them. They know who God is. They may say he's a person, but who is person, what person, they have no information at all. Because they're not really interested in the person, God. They're just interested in the facility of the kingdom of God, or the heavenly planets. So therefore, there's something for them. It'll keep them progressive. It'll keep them from animal life. So therefore, it seems like so many contradictions in the scriptures, saying so many different things. And it's all coming from the Lord, right? Vedas, I am the compiler of the Vedas. This is Vedic, this is Krishna's words. See, we are following, we are pakka. So very confusing contradictions are there. But anyway, this, if we know the highest truth, then we should feel a little ashamed that we should be truthful to ourselves, that we are actually the eternal servants of Krishna. And we should be acting like that. So we should make this meditation for today, at least for today, rest of the day, as far as we can remember. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Everything I'm doing, it should be for Krishna's service. We can think like that. Training. You think, train your mind. Is this for Krishna's pleasure? Because everything we're doing more or less is for Krishna's service, right? We're hearing, we're chanting, remembering, we're doing some service. Those of us in the ashram. And those who are visiting, they're hearing, chanting, reading, going to the aarti ceremony. But Krishna likes us to do these things. So he gets pleasure. When we're chanting, Krishna gets pleasure. When we're reading Bhagavatam, Krishna's pleasure. He takes pleasure. They're doing what I want them to do. So he takes pleasure like that. But all those other things in between, we should be doing these things for the pleasure of Krishna. Because that's a mentality we want to reach eventually. If you want to go back to Godhead, right? We're servants of Krishna in the spiritual world. We're loving servants of Krishna in whatever capacity we serve Him in, whatever relationship. So there comes a point of practicing. I mean, we can't practice our relationship because we don't know what it is. But at least we can practice. We can remember, practice, that I'm doing this for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever I'm doing now, it's supposed to be for the pleasure of Krishna. Then we can consciously think, because it's a consciousness which is a deciding factor. Apart from Guru, what is actually devotion or not? Right? Two people sitting side by side doing exactly the same thing. One is doing for Krishna, one is doing for himself. One is spiritual, one is not. But overtly, they're doing exactly the same thing. And the result is, they're producing the same result. But on the subtle level, then one is producing karma and one is producing freedom. It's just a question of consciousness. It's the purpose of why they're doing it. So that's the important thing. It's the purpose of what we do, not why we do what we do. Then more than why we do it is the mood we're doing it in also. We should do it favorably for Krishna's pleasure. So maybe something we can meditate on for today, during the day. We can remember this. See what kind of devotees we are. We can measure our devotion. Anyway, Bali is going to go against all this good advice, because he understands it's Krishna who is, everyone is ultimately, everything is meant for his pleasure. So then he's going to disregard Guru, disregard the scriptures for this principle. So, and this is what made him a Mahajan. But he did it with full faith and happiness. Very happy to do it. Bali Mahajan ki je, Srimad Bhagavatam ki je, Srila Prabhupada ki je, Thayi Vo Premanandi. question?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhu, Bhudevi in Vo expressed clearly that she can bear anything except a liar. If that is the case, why Krishna has encouraged Dharmaraj in the Kurukshetra war to tell lie, that Aswadhama Punjaraha? What's the reason behind it?
I did not tell that story. Why Krishna told you to tell a lie?
Why encourage Dharmaraj to tell lie in the Kurukshetra war, especially Aswadhama Punjaraha, just to kill Dronacharya? Because actually Bhudevi very clearly stated that in why that she can bear anything except a liar.
Oh, Krishna wanted to, Krishna came here to destroy the demons, Pratityanaya Sadhunam, and annihilate the miscreants. That's his business. So he wanted that battle to happen, so all the demons, demoniac kings would come together and he could kill them all at once. But he couldn't do it with Drona there, you see. So Drona had to go, and who can fight Drona? Right? He's the best. So normal ways we couldn't kill Drona. So Krishna devised a plan. He knew that if my son dies, I'm going to quit the battle. So tell him that, then he'll go. And then when he puts down his arrows, then we can kill him.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, during any sort of meetings or arguments, like when we have to decide on something, the two parties, when they start quoting from Shastra, it becomes hard to decide which one is right, because misquoting Shastra. So, how do we decide which Shastra should we follow?
Prabhupada mentions this about truthfulness in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna mentions that. Prabhupada said truthfulness means not misrepresenting the truth. He said one should come in parampara, but one shouldn't, because this is Prabhupada's a preacher. So this is his main thing about truthfulness was people are misinterpreting the truth. Truth should be spoken. It should be for the benefit of everyone. That's the greatest Prabhupada's definition, something like that. He gives a definition of truth. But it should benefit everyone. And it should be in parampara, because so many people are speaking truths, but not the absolute truth. Right? All the different gurus, all the different religions, they're speaking truths. But you got karma, you got artha, you got dharma, you got different scriptures are there. You see, 18 puranas, 6 for those in the mode of passion, goodness and ignorance, 6 each. So dealing with different people, so therefore they have different. The people are classified like that. So this is what they can accept. So they have those shastras in a mode of ignorance, shastras in a mode of goodness, shastras in a mode of passion. But that was Prabhupada's definition. It should be for the benefit of everyone. The truth should be spoken, but it should be for the benefit of everyone. And he quotes that when the truth, which is a popular saying, truth should be told only if it's palatable. You shouldn't say it if it's not very palatable. But Prabhupada disagreed with that. He said, no, truth should be told. Truth should be known. If you don't tell the truth, then it won't be known. Even if it's not palatable, you know, people don't like to hear they're not the enjoyers. People don't like to hear that it's simple to eat meat or take intoxication. They don't like to hear it. So even if it's unpalatable, the truth should be spoken. That was Srila Prabhupada's interpretation. What was the exact question?
My question was when Shukracharya misquoted the Vedas, like he showed quotation from the Vedas, right, to Bali Maharaj to refrain from his dharma. Like, so when someone is quoting Shastra, and like, then how we deal with it, because the Shastra is also right.
And well, Bali is a reference. Okay, it's there in Shastra. but your motivation, what is your motivation in following, in doing that? You want to control the kingdom. Is that the highest truth? Your goal is, the purpose of your following this truth, this Shastra, that you, what you want to benefit from it is that you can control the kingdom. So it's a self-interest. It's still a self-interest. So until you come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, where you're doing it for Vishnu's interest, what is the real interest? The real interest is Vishnu's interest. That's the real interest of the Vedas. But because we're not interested in God or serving Him, we'll use Him to get what we want. We use His instructions to get what we want, so therefore He gives. Because He knows we're not interested in Him directly, in surrendering to Him. We want to imitate Him. So He's given the best way to imitate Him is to follow Dharma. Because from Dharma comes Artha, from Artha you can enjoy. Then, when it's all done, when you get old, you can have your moksha. So that's what Krishna is given, because people are not interested. People don't come in this material world to serve Krishna. It's a place where you come to forget Krishna. You came from that place where we're remembering Krishna. So it's not for devotees. The material world is for sinful people, to correct their mentality. But because we're not about to surrender to Krishna immediately, then there's so many other things, you know. Okay, we want to be happy and we want to enjoy, control, right? We want to. So you act like this. You follow the scripture and you get that result. But it's the best way to get the results you want, by following your dharma. And that from that produces artha. With the artha facility, then you can enjoy. That's what we're interested in. So these scriptures are giving that. So this is the scripture that Bali's quoting from, Sukha's quoting from. It's probably the artha scripture. How to succeed in artha, to be successful in artha. But what is the point of that? You're still going to get old, sick and die and leave it all behind. So what is the point? If you get your kingdom, you run the kingdom, you run the universe, you defeat the devil, what's the point? You can't hold it. It's got to go again, right? Then you have to take birth and... So what is the real essence? So the real essence is to be... is not in the material world. There's no essence in the material world. It's just constantly changing. The essence is to go back to Godhead. So those scriptures tell you how to go to back to Godhead. That's the moksha part of the scriptures, the Nivritti Marg, which are very small, because no interest. It's a very small, hardly mentioned in the Vedas. Vishnu and all that stuff, hardly mentioned, because no one's interested. But that's the essence of it. So then this is, you have to bring them up, bring their consciousness up, like, these examples are given for us. Bali Raj, he rejected that idea as inferior, because he knows Vishnu is the supreme authority and we should be surrendered to him. He knows that, and his guru knows that also. But his guru is looking after the interests of his clients, the demons. He's not in that dynasty. And they've got in control by his help, and he wants them to keep in control. That's what they want. So he's facilitating them. So it's a much lower principle, you see. It's all about how to enjoy in the material world, in the material body. Because they're not much interested in the higher principle, but still there are higher principles. So then if they're quoting from the thing, then if they're quoting scripture, then you have to quote another scripture, a higher scripture. You can say that's Dharma, that's Artha scripture, or that's Karma scripture. There's a higher one, the essential one, and the Dharma Shastras are higher. And then the Bhakti Shastras are even higher. So this way you have to... if they're learned, if they're quoting scripture, then you can quote other scripture. and explain to them the higher principle, and what is the actual essence of everything. Not just to be comfortable in the material world, because that's mainly what the Vedas are talking about. happy in this life and the next life. Go to Swarga. So that's the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. It's our business to bring everyone's consciousness up to the, you know, to the absolute truth. We are the eternal servants of Krishna. We should be serving Krishna, that's all. And everything else is superficial. But if it's favorable, it's helpful, it's good. Just like we follow Vayanashram because it's it makes for a nice peaceful society, structured society, scientific, 8 divisions. But we don't accept that philosophy of Vayanashram, which is moksha. Right? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. These are the 4 perfections, so-called. But that's what they're dealing with. But we'll accept the culture, because we have to have some culture to live. So why not accept that culture? That culture is given by Krishna. But we're not using Vayanashram for elevation. Not for Kama, not for Artha, not for Moksha. Because we have bhakti. We chant the holy name, that's our deliverance. We worship Krishna, that's our deliverance. So we're not interested in the benefits of, I mean material benefits of Vayanashram. We're just interested in the social fabric of Vayanashram, because we have to have some social system to live by. So that's the best one, because it's made by Krishna. But the materialists use it because they gain from it. But we're not interested in that kind of gain. Not Dharma, not Artha, not Karma. We know, we want to go back to God, we want to love Krishna. But we're using that. So anything, you know, our principle is, anything that can be used in the service of Krishna should not be rejected. If it's favorable for Krishna consciousness, we can use it. So we're using the system, we're using this social setup, but we're not interested in the philosophy or the results of that. This is Devi Vanasha. No, sorry, Vanasha. Yeah. Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam ki jai.